97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Always fun filling in for Mark Reardon. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Reardon. Getting to hang out with some of my favorite people in the whole wide world, including Ethan. Young Ethan, we call you. There's a young Ethan and there's older Ethan. We're not going to say old Ethan.
Yeah,
we'll
that's
say
right.
Young Ethan and older, right?
Yeah, we'll give him the respect that he is deserved. But, you know, it could even be young and younger Ethan if we really want to be kind to him. But, you know, that you're the show host today, so you get to choose that.
Just make up names as I go along. Got Sue here and Fred. I'm so happy to work with all of you guys. Mark's taking a couple of well-deserved days off. I'm guessing he is at a specific golf tournament. Would I be wrong in assuming that?
Well, there's a bell on the other side of the studio that I... Oh, there's Sue. She's got her bell. She was ready to go. Yes, he is at the BMW Championship today and tomorrow. He was there the last couple of days as well. So he is... This is like his Christmas, Heidi.
Okay, his Super Bowl, his Christmas, mm-hmm. All that good stuff. It's not everybody who gets to play golf with senators and things like that. So good for him. All the good stuff that they're doing with their pros and everything. So it's going to be a great weekend, it looks like, for golf in the St. Louis area. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, the weather's looking really good up to this point. And we had Dave Murray on yesterday afternoon to talk through some of it. And, of course, you hear the weather updates every hour. Everything's sounding like... And it's going to be nice this weekend, so whether you're golfing or not, it's nice. Hopefully we're through all of the horrible St. Louis heat that we get around this time around this time of year every year.
Okay, you're going to whine about it because you want me to share my weather report with you, my friend?
I don't want to hear it. Listen, I've experienced Las Vegas heat. But, you know, they both suck, but they suck in different ways because it's just so dry out there.
It is dry. And you get into the car and it's 140 degrees. I mean, there are things that blow up in your car in Vegas, you know, cans that you look at and you think, oh, well, hairspray or whatever. And you think, oh, it says don't store it above 120 degrees. And you pay no attention to that warning until it blows up in your car. Literally, it will blow up in your car.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the truth, Sue. A friend of mine had a can of Fix-A-Flat blow up in her car, got little pieces of whatever Fix-A-Flat is made out of all over her car. That's how hot it gets. I know. But, we get through it. We just get through it, and we stay in the air conditioning if we can. But you're right. When it's humid, it's worse. And we whine a lot here in Vegas when it's humid, that's for sure. But it's great. It's great that you're getting a great weekend for golf. That's going to be a lot of fun. How exciting to get all these pros out there for that great event. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, it's the play is underway. I haven't seen the leaderboards and what that is looking like so far. But it'll almost be a little bit of a show reunion out there because Sue's going to make her way out there on Saturday, and then Alex Rich, who is weekly, joins us in the 4 o'clock hour on Wednesdays. He's going to be out there as well. So I'm sure that some of the Reardon Show personalities are going to see each other at some point over the weekend.
That's fun. That's it. You know, it's good to get those nice days when it's great and it's a great sport. And that's always a lot of fun. So that's going to be great. He'll be returned on Monday. I did find this funny today. You know, I know you guys have talked a lot about the WNBA, and I don't even really watch the WNBA. I know about Sophie and Caitlin and all this stuff. I get all that. So I pay attention to the news, but I can't tell you that I've ever watched an entire game. But anyway. One of the best teams in the country, as we know, is in Las Vegas. And Asia Wilson, it was funny because there's talk of them bringing an NBA team into Las Vegas. And it's got the Super Bowl there sometimes. Now it's got a great stadium. Looks like a giant Roomba if you haven't seen it. Major League this, Major League that. I mean, it's really a sports town in a lot of ways. But here's the funny headline. I know you guys all appreciate this. Asia Wilson, once again, I don't care what you think about the WNBA. She's a great player. Regardless of how you feel about anything regarding the girls, she is great. But she says she's ready to welcome the NBA to Southern Nevada, but she doesn't want the potential team to steal their spotlight. Because no one's going to pay attention to them once the NBA comes to Vegas. No one does anyway, right? She said, I just don't need them to steal our shine. Because we got some good shine here. We brought a lot of shiny things here. Don't you find it funny? On the one hand, have they decided whether they're going to recruit some of these guys to play in the WNBA? I know there are a couple of guys who declared their eligibility. What's the latest on that? Ethan, the expert on sports, anything? You heard anything yet?
No, I for those that are not in the loop on that, you know, obviously, you know, with Sophie Cunningham and everything going on in the transgender athlete debate, There is a lot of people that have come out in support, you know, saying support trans, support this or that. And there was a couple of former athletes, Enes Kanter Freedom, one of them, former NBA player himself, began to identifying as a woman solely so that he could enter or declare for the 2027 WNBA draft. The WNBA has not said that they are going to allow for these players to enter into the draft, actually, but they did have a meeting this past week trying to define a woman and what exactly, you know, their definition so that they could go forward and have a little bit more of an idea as to what this looks like. It's been a disaster for the WNBA. They just continue to screw up the spotlight that they have gotten from athletes like Caitlin Clark, who have done a lot of good things for the sport, bringing attention to it. They just continue to screw up the attention that they're getting.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, they should be capitalizing on this, and they should be grateful that anybody's paying attention to any of their players, and yet they still can't define what a woman is. And I know everyone's tired of hearing that whole topic. I'm kind of, I'm too. But it's going to come to light if they have not established that a woman is a woman. And if you're, you know, if you're a man, then you shouldn't be on the team, right? Well, they, you know, it's just a mess. It's an absolute mess, the whole thing. And the attention they've gotten is because of people like Sophie and Caitlin. And not just because they're white, but because people are paying attention to what they do. And you've got people trying to literally, I think, kill them on the court is what I'm seeing. And people don't seem to care about that. And it's, I don't think a lot of people realized how bad the WNBA was politically until this whole thing came to light with Sophie and Caitlin. Did you, I mean, I know you follow mainly baseball, Ethan, and football and that kind of thing. I mean, did you have any idea how political the WNBA was? I didn't, because I didn't really pay that much attention to it.
Yeah, I mean, not really. And part of it was because of the lack of attention. There seems to be this bitterness, this disdain against Caitlin Clark and what she has done for the league. A lack of, I don't know if I would say, I guess a lack of gratitude, because it just seems like the league itself has turned her into a villain. And I don't understand why exactly that is. It makes no sense. But unfortunately, you're seeing, you know, Caitlin Clark, you're seeing Sophie Cunningham, you're seeing them get beat up a lot out there, a lot of hard fouls, and unfortunately they aren't getting the calls that they should be getting a lot of the time. You know, the game is going to be in a bad spot if you don't have players like Caitlin Clark out there with that talent and doing what she is doing. That's why people are entertained by it. It's not because of her skin color, it's because she can pull up from the logo and hit a shot, and no one else in the league can do it like that, and people are entertained by that. But when she's hurt, then you're losing out on the attention that comes when she's there. Courts, arenas sell out when she is there, so have to keep her healthy, and it certainly doesn't help when she's getting pushed around and, you know, poked in the eye, and people are landing on her neck and stuff. It's just it's ridiculous, the lack of accountability that the WNBA, the referees, the officials are, you know, not providing, despite her getting beat up and being, you know, the face of the league.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. And I wonder how long it's going to be. I saw her debut. What was it, NBC that she was on? I forgot. She's very good on TV. And I'm sure Sophie would be too. I mean, she's got the TV looks, obviously, and everything, and then the charisma. But if I'm those girls, I might get to the point where I say, you know what? The heck with you guys. I'm going to go get in the booth and I'm going to be done getting beat up. Not because they're quitters, but because they're going to be done getting beat up and they're going to go for a better job that a lot of these other women aren't going to get, not because of the color of their skin, but because they're just so nasty toward these other girls. You know, that's what I would think. I saw something about Sophie's shoes selling out in like 5 seconds. Something like that. The first day or something, she created a shoe line everybody wanted. So, yeah, it's sad that it has to be this way, because the people who are the best at whatever game it is you're playing should be celebrated and not vilified. I remember how many years was everybody watching golf only because Tiger Woods was there? It's not a racial thing, guys. It's not about race, because there were many times, and I'm not necessarily a huge golf fan. I like it, but don't know as much as I should about it. But I'd watch if Tiger was in the tournament. And then when he wasn't there, I think a lot of people felt that way for a very, very long time. And so, you know, when you've got somebody who gets the eyeballs on the sport, whatever the sport is, those are the people you should be celebrating, not trying to destroy, as far as I'm concerned. All right, lots coming up on the Mark Reardon Show today. Once again, I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. We're going to be speaking with the St. Charles County Police Chief, Kurt Frizz. That's coming up a little bit later, because he, at bottom of the hour, matter of fact, he has decided to end his department's contract with Flock. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to these Flock cameras all over the country and the abuses that are happening with that. So we'll talk with him about that and get some information, because hats off to him. People are following ex-wives, ex-girlfriends on these cameras. Needs to be discussed. So we'll get to that. Ira Melman's going to join us from the Federation for American Immigration Reform. He'll be joining us about a woman who was killed, 42 years old, killed by a 19-year-old illegal alien. And also the Fifth Circuit is considering a right to release for illegal aliens. Like, you have a right to get out of jail until we decide, so your case, you know, goes through the courts. No, you're not supposed to be here at all. We'll talk about that and other things coming up right after the break. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. He's taking a couple of well-deserved days off to hang out on the golf course. I mean, I could lie to you, but that's the truth. But he comes back on Monday. I promise he'll return on Monday. Always having a good time with some of my favorite people in the radio business. Another one of the people I've loved talking to for years, Ira Melman from the Federation for American Immigration Reform. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing well. So let's talk about two things. I want to start with this brief that the Federation for American Immigration Reform has filed with the U.S. Court of Appeals. The idea that we even have to talk about illegals getting out of jail or detention, and then, you know, waiting until their case, you know, is processed before they're having to go back in, is ridiculous. I mean, this should be an automatic situation, correct?
It should be. The law is pretty specific. It says that if you are entering the country illegally, or you're caught in the interior of the country illegally, you will either have to be detained or put back across the border. So, the law is pretty clear on this. And, you know, the fact that the Biden administration wasn't doing that was the impetus for this mass rush of people to come across the border. They knew that under the Biden administration, they'd be processed and released probably within 24 to 48 hours, given a court date sometime in the 2030s, and they'd get to stay here. Maybe they disappear. Maybe they find some other reason. But this is the way it is supposed to be. You can't let people in en masse. We had some 10 million people cross the border illegally under the Biden administration, and now they want us to get rid of them one by one. That's gaming the system to a point where, you know, the heads they win, tails we lose.
Yeah, because they're saying that they're entitled to a bond hearing and possible release into this country pending the removal. I mean, like you said, that completely goes against the way the law, the way the law is supposed to be. It's crazy.
Yeah. And look, I mean, if we go through these case by case, we'll probably be talking, 20, 30 years before any of them get to their day to on the bond hearing. So the fact is, the law says that if you are in the country illegally, you should be detained or put back across the border. And by the way, these people do have an option. They can simply say, you know what, I have no valid reason for remaining here in the United States. I'm going to lose my case. Rather than being held in detention, I'm going to voluntarily return on my own. And if you present it to them that way, a lot of people simply say, yeah, let's skip this whole process. Let's skip the detention. I'm going home.
You know, I have a former producer I worked with for years in radio who now works in the immigration scene. He's a paralegal now. And he said, you can't believe how many people who were trying to do the process legally through his law firm, he calls them now, they're gone. They've already gone back home to wherever they were from. They're not even around anymore. And to your point, you can easily leave if you want to. The door is always open.
Yeah. And, you know, the attraction under the Biden administration was that you could stay here for years and years. You'd get work authorization. Maybe you show up in 2032 for your hearing. Maybe you don't. But in the meantime, you're here. You're looking for other ways to make a claim to remain here in the United States. And that's what leads to these mass waves of people coming across the border. You know, Spain just recently said, you know, we'll give everybody amnesty. And we saw what happened just in Spain a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So we have to stop incentivizing people from crossing our borders illegally. Make it clear to them that if we catch you, you're going to be detained or you're going to be put back, but you're not getting released into the country.
Absolutely not. We're speaking with Ira Melman, Federation for American Immigration Reform. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark. The next story I want to talk to you about is a 42-year-old woman who apparently worked with a 19-year-old guy who was illegal, released by the Biden administration in 2024. He kills her in a vicious way in Virginia. Here we go again.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is an all too common story. And there's another example. Somebody who was caught entering the country illegally and released into the United States. You know, he's 19 years old now. Under the Biden administration, he probably came as an unaccompanied minor. He was probably one of the hundreds of thousands of unaccompanied minors that were released into the country. And the Department of Health and Human Services, which is supposed to track them, probably has no idea where he is until he wound up on a police blotter. But this is the sort of things that we're subjecting our own citizens to. And you have in Virginia a new governor and a new administration that has basically said they're going to refuse to cooperate with federal immigration authorities. You know, I have not heard that he had been previously arrested in Virginia and then released. But in another circumstance, he might very well have been one of the people that Virginia now just puts back out on the street and says, ICE, go find him yourself.
Yeah, one of the things that people forget, and I don't know if you know this, but I'm now doing a crime podcast. It's called, shameless plug, Vegas Crime Files, okay? And I talk about, with the people who were actually involved in the crime, the investigators, you know, that kind of thing, okay? It's firsthand stuff, not a Google script. And I did one a week or so ago, once again, Vegas Crime Files, about MS-13, because a friend of mine was chasing the MS-13 guys around, who three of whom were just convicted, as you may know, in Vegas, a couple of weeks ago. And the things that they do to people, we don't even want to talk about here on a family show. Put it on the podcast, but pretty awful. But the main thing, one of the things that we talked about was how these people will come in here from other countries if they're illegally in here, and sometimes even legally here. When these gang members get over the border illegally, they're terrorizing their own community. So if you're from El Salvador, you're coming in, you want to be a gang member, you get recruited into the gang, whatever, you are basically hurting the people in your own community. Nobody wants to speak about that, because if you want people to be safe, immigrants, especially legal immigrants, you want them to be safe, you can't allow illegals to go back and forth across the border. And that's what they dealt with when they were chasing these guys around under the Biden administration, because they'd be out on Friday, back on Monday, and they couldn't get rid of them.
Right. Nobody wants criminal aliens living in the United States, especially violent ones who go around killing people. And as you're right. The people who happen to live closest, namely the people that share their ethnic background, they're the ones who are usually victimized. In many cases, these are people themselves who were smuggled into the United States and owe money to the gangs that got them into the country. So we're just creating a system here where people are being abused. You know, we understand why they're coming here. And then once they're here, those same gangs terrorize them here in the United States or threaten
That's
to
right.
terrorize their relatives back home. So it's just a bad situation all around. And there's no excuse for it. And there's certainly no excuse for local governments that refuse to turn over these criminal aliens when they arrest them for other offenses. And very often they go out and commit other crimes, such as that poor girl in Chicago a few months ago. The Chicago police had arrested the murderer, put him back out on the street. And nobody is ever held accountable. That's the really sad part. None of these officials who make these policies are ever held accountable for these decisions.
Yeah, my friend was telling me about a young kid they talked to who was from El Salvador. Nice kid, lives in an apartment complex. They were just walking around the apartment complex, trying to be low key, just trying to get some information. The kid said, look, I'm working in a restaurant. I don't want to be a part of a gang, blah, 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 blah. He didn't tell them anything. And they killed him. The gang members that night picked him up, tortured him, and killed him. This young kid who was just trying to make something of his life in America, I don't know if he was legal or illegally here, but this is what happens. If you supposedly care so much about these illegals and you want people to be able to come into the country, well, where's your compassion? It should be directed toward these people who are victimized by these illegal aliens in many cases.
Yeah, and we are starting to do that. I mean, the Trump administration has stopped the huge flow of people coming across the border illegally. They have slowed down the criminal gangs that not only smuggle people but drugs and contraband into the United States. And now they are embarking on an effort to remove the people who are here from the United States. And of course, you have these local officials who, you know, they'll stand in front of Delaney Hall in Newark, New Jersey, to defend the criminal aliens that they're trying to deport. You have the folks in Minneapolis, all across the country in these sanctuary jurisdictions. You have supposedly responsible leaders, elected officials, who are trying to keep these criminals in the communities where people don't want them.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Well, thank you for continuing the fight. Ira Melman, Federation for American Immigration Reform. Thank you, my friend. Always great to talk to you.
Great talking to you. Bye.
I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. It's National Radio Day. We're going to talk about that coming up. National Radio Day. Can you even imagine? I don't know about you guys, but I do not like flock cameras. They seem to be showing up all over the country, and there have been some, let's just put it this way, there have been some abuses of the system. St. Charles County Police Department has announced they're discontinuing the use of these, and I'm so thrilled about that. The police chief joins us, Kurt Friss, joins the Mark Reardon Show. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. How are you, sir? Nice to have you.
I'm doing well, Heidi. Thanks.
Can I just applaud you? Thank you very much for doing something for the great people of St. Charles County, because people don't like these. You tell me why you decided to do it.
Well, we've had problems with the system before as far as the auditing procedures and what's available and how to audit and accountability on ourselves. And when we recently conducted an audit, we found an issue that we addressed directly. And then after talking about what we get out of the system and it's a great tool. The license plate reader system is a great tool for law enforcement, but the flock system is not the most user friendly for us, and so we decided to discontinue the service.
Yeah, I see that on August 14th, at a press release you put out, you were informed of an abnormal pattern of searches by one civilian employee. And I've heard about this all over the country, where people are looking up ex-wives, ex-girlfriends, and being able to track their license plate. So how much can you tell me about that particular incident?
Well, it's an ongoing investigation. Like I said, during the audit process, we did detect an abnormally high number by one employee. So we immediately started an internal investigation. We restricted access from that employee and then put that employee on leave, unpaid leave at that. And then since then, that employee has resigned. It's continuing. The investigation is continuing. And there's also a criminal investigation going on just to determine if, in fact, there are any crimes committed. And that'll eventually be presented to the prosecuting attorney's office.
Okay, now I don't expect you to talk about the specifics of this case. We're speaking, by the way, with St. Charles County Police Chief Friss. I don't expect you to talk about the details here. But in general, if somebody is using cameras like this or looking up somebody's medical records or whatever they're doing, let's stick with the cameras. Couldn't that be a type of stalking in some situations?
It could be. It really depends on the nature and how far they went with it and what they did with that information. So that's really up to the prosecuting attorney's office to determine. We'll simply present the facts and for them to take under consideration.
You know, it's interesting, too, in various jurisdictions, they are either paid for by donors. Where I live, they're paid for by donors. And I guess some things are provided for free. But then, of course, you know what they say, if they're free, you're the product, right?
Right.
That always makes me suspicious. And then you hear stories about, oh, this crime was, broken because of the flock cameras, and these children were returned, they were trafficked, and they were returned because of flock cameras. And I'm not saying that's not ever accurate, but they certainly put out one point of view, don't they, in their publicity.
Well, yeah, the fact is we have made on average 30 to 50 felony arrests because of license plate readers in our county a year. Everything from murder suspects to car break-ins, to stolen vehicles. So there is a value to it if it's used correctly.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though, and I'm sure you've considered this is why you're not going to use these anymore. When you're talking about the Fourth Amendment, how does this violate the Fourth Amendment? There are people who will argue, and I've seen them online saying, well, you're out in public anyway. You don't have the right to privacy. You're out in public. What do you say to that, Chief?
Well, you're on a public roadway. Anybody can take a picture of your license plate at any time they want. This is obviously the police department's using it. Your license plate is not in the system if it doesn't hit. If you're not wanted for a felony, that's the level we set it at. If you're not wanted for a felony, then it will not put an alert out at all. So our police officers, our detectives that have access to the system, don't have time to track people. And if they do it for personal reasons and not law enforcement related, then we'll hold them accountable. And that's what we did in this case.
Right. So I've heard people say that if they're used incorrectly, these license plate readers, that they can pretty much check, you know, you went here, you went, this is where you go to church, this is where you go to the grocery store. Oop, you're not supposed to be over here. There are people who are saying it could go that far. What do you think about that, Chief?
Well, I think, yeah, that's what misuse is. And if it's being used like that, then that's where I expect law enforcement agencies need to hold their people accountable. And that's what an audit process is for. That's why we decided to get away from Flock, because it wasn't very easy to audit through their system. So we've decided to move away.
It's interesting what you said, though, about how you set the system up. Can everybody set the system up differently? In other words, you said you set it up in St. Charles County to only grab the license plates of people who were felons. Do other jurisdictions do it differently? Do they have the ability to change the way they handle things?
Yeah, you could set it the threshold where it's picking up, traffic warrants, misdemeanor traffic warrants, things like that. We haven't done that in St. Charles County. We're only interested in the criminal element that is preying on our community that we don't want in our community, so that we can respond to that.
Yeah, and I know there was a crime, a murder just the other day here in Vegas that they solved it initially by the license plate reader. And like I said, I'm not going to say this doesn't help at times, but people are just concerned about who's got the data and how long are they keeping the data? We don't know. Even if a police department only keeps it for a certain amount of time, what about the Flock company? We don't know, do we, the answers to those questions?
Yeah, and that's what got concerning to us is how Flock is operating. Being a vendor, a third-party vendor, and where the data could possibly be going. So that's why we decided to no longer use our service.
Well, good for you. Great talking to you, Police Chief of St. Charles County, Chief Frizz. It's been fun. My first time talking to you, and I appreciate you doing that. And I'm sure what are the people of St. Charles County saying about this? They must be thrilled that you made this decision.
Well, I think so. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are, and I think our community supports law enforcement to a very high degree, and I think they trust us to use resources like this responsibly, and that's part of why we're putting this out there, to show that, hey, we found a problem, we fixed the problem, and we're letting you know about the problem, and so we took action. So it's about transparency and trust.
Absolutely. I think that's great. Police Chief Kurt Frizz, thank you very much for joining the Mark Reardon Show. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Heidi.
Great talking to him. I think that's great what he did. I think that's fantastic because a lot of people don't like these things. But a couple of stories real quickly. In the St. Louis area, Brentwood, there was a police officer who was using his license plate reader to stalk his ex-wife. Did you guys hear about this story? Anybody? Sue? Anybody hear about this story?
Haven't heard this one.
Brentwood police officer used this automated license plate reader to stalk his ex-wife during a contentious divorce. But investigators said there was no crime committed under Missouri law. Really? But the woman said her ex-husband admitted to using the Flock camera system to track her location. She described the behavior as a control issue. She said, when I got home, he was very angry and mentioned he ran my plates through the Flock camera to find out where I was, who she was with, etc. Okay, that's bad. That's one story. I've just got a couple of them here. I mean, I didn't want to talk to the chief about this because it's not happening in his jurisdiction, but it does go to back up what he's done. Jefferson Parish, Louisiana. A Louisiana sheriff's deputy was fired for tracking his ex-partner's location more than 3,000 times. Did I say ex-partner? Ex-partner. Let it go, buddy. Okay. Ex-partner. 3,000 times over the course of several years using Flock cameras. 3,000 times. And the car belonged to his ex-fiance. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like people accessing your private medical records. If they work in an office, you know, you're a celebrity or something, and you come into the hospital and people are accessing. I mean, there are things that a lot of people have access to when they work in various jurisdictions or agencies, and you're supposed to handle them ethically and responsibly. And doing something like this to me, obviously, is it's not cool. That's all I'm saying. I'm glad he did that. I'm glad the chief decided not to do it, because it makes you wonder, though, when you think about it. If something's free, and a lot of these places in the country, they're being provided these cameras. And what bothers me about it, where I live, These cameras showed up with nobody having a vote on it because they were donated by big donors. And nobody had a vote on these hundreds of cameras that have appeared all over the place. And how much data are they collecting? How long do they keep this data? I don't know. And I have heard people say who are really against these cameras that they can basically monitor. Oh, you went here. This is where you go to church. This is where you go to school. This is where you go to work. This is where you go to the grocery store. Blah, 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 blah. Wait, whoop. You went somewhere different. You were at a place you shouldn't have been. What are you up to? I don't know who's got time to monitor people that closely. I really don't. But that's a possibility, and a lot of people are very concerned about it, to say the least, and I think it's great that they're eliminating it in some places. All right, much more to come on the Mark Reardon Show. Don't forget, you can follow us on all the socials, 97.1 FM Talk. And, of course, you can follow me, Heidi Hirsch Show, on all the socials, X and all that kind of stuff. We come back, we're going to talk about National Radio Day, just briefly, because it is National Radio Day. I just got a nice tweet from Mike Gallagher. You know Mike Gallagher, syndicated host? I put something up about the first day that I was on radio, a picture. And he goes, congrats, Heidi, on a stellar career. That was sweet of him. He's a good guy. So it's National Radio Day. We'll talk about that. And much more coming up on the Mark Reardon Show. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. He returns on Monday. He's having more fun at the golf course. And he's entitled to a few days off, so I'm happy to give it to him. It's National Radio Day. All of us in radio were posting all kinds of crazy pictures of ourselves when we started the business and that kind of stuff. Sue, how long have you been in radio, madam?
Hold on. Oh, one.
Get out your stone tablet.
Carry the one. 30 something years. Yep, abacus. That's how I'm doing it.
Yeah, I get it. I'm going to be starting 29 in September. Fred, what about you, my friend?
44 years. I started in 82.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That is great. Now, what were you doing when you first started in radio?
I've been at KMOX Radio my whole career. Okay. So I graduated in 82 and started at KMOX as a reporter. And I've been doing the same thing over there. And then I share my time here on 97.1.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
44 years. That's a heck of a career.
It's a long time.
You know, he's a Hall of Famer. Did you know that, Heidi?
I did not know that. Radio Hall of Fame?
Hall of Famer.
It's for being old. That's why they put you in the Hall of Fame.
Is that Missouri you're talking about?
St. Louis Media Hall of Fame.
Okay. Because I know in Nevada, you got to be in 20 years before you can get in the Hall of Fame.
Well, then, if that's the case, if he lived in Nevada, then, he would be, a two-time Hall of Famer.
He'd be a two-time Hall of Famer. God bless him. That's fantastic. No, it's great to find something you love and stick with it that long. Because, radio is one of those things where it's different every day. People are like, you do the same job forever. No, because it's not the same job. Today, tomorrow, every day, it's different. That's what makes it so cool.
I don't think there's ever been a day that I've not looked forward to coming to work, because every day, like you said, is something new, and it's just the immediacy of radio that you can, hear something and moments later you have it on the air and you're sharing it with listeners.
And that's saying something, because he works with Mark Reardon. So
that is saying something. That does seem a bit like a bit of a grind. No, that's not true. I was just telling you, Ethan, today, Mark Reardon has the friendliest voice in radio, doesn't he?
He does. He does good commercials,
friendly, happy guy. But that's true. I mean, it's the immediacy. I mean, there's some jobs. I've done jobs over the course of my life where, after you've learned the job, that's kind of the end of the intellectual stimulation. Okay, I know what I'm doing now. I can't do it again tomorrow, right? But radio is so much different. So much different. How many stations have you worked for, Sue? A lot or a few?
Hold on. Adding it up again.
Carry the one again.
Yes, I would say several. Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Several.
Yes. Right. I was a news director in Tifton, Georgia at my first job.
Okay.
And then I moved back, but, as part of traffic, you're all over the place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right, and so then I would stop and be part of a different show, and that would be one place, and then they'd say, ooh, we'll take you back in traffic. We'll put you up, but can you be on these two stations? So I'm an odd person to ask, just because I've been on a lot, but mainly just because of traffic.
Yeah, but you're what we like to call the radio business, a Swiss Army knife. You can do anything. They can put you anywhere. You can do radio. You can do news. You can do anything.
Well, I guess so. So, yeah, but yeah, I've been a lot. So I'm the anti-Fred. I'm the opposite of Fred.
And young Ethan has been in the radio business how long, my friend?
Oh, boy. Not quite nearly as long as my coworkers here. I have, let's see, I guess I graduated in 23, but I technically started when I was still in school at Camel X as a part-timer. So that would have been 2022. So this is my fourth year in radio.
Yeah, okay.
Fourth year in radio. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now you're doing the radio. You do the play-by-play, which I was telling you during the break. I know you guys have heard Sue and Fred. You've heard him do the play-by-play. He's unbelievable.
He's really, really good. We're not gonna have him here long. He'll get a bigger job soon.
I'm telling you. I don't care who you think you are, Herb Street. Watch out for Ethan. He's coming for your job, buddy.
Oh, boy. Next subject.
Well, I don't know where a guy named Kurt Herbstreit, where did he start? Do you have any idea what his history is? Because I don't know. He's an incredible
He's an analyst.
Yeah.
So for Kurt Herbstreit, if you live under a rock, is one of the – he's probably the biggest – personality in college football, is one of the hosts of College Game Day every Saturday morning. But Kirk Herbstreit went the athlete path. He was a quarterback at Ohio State,
and that's
how he got into the field. You see, a lot of the analysts tend to be former athletes, and then the play-by-play side is usually the ones that started in broadcasting and kind of worked their way up. But yeah, he was at Ohio State, and he has been doing it for a very long time. And like I said, now he is he's kind of the king of college football in the sense of that he's probably one of the most recognized faces and voices just because he's been around for such a long time.
Yeah, he's great. I hadn't thought about what you just said about the guys who are calling the games, like Al Michaels,
right,
versus the color guy. Okay, like I'm thinking, I can't think of his name, who he usually works with. I'm thinking about Al Michaels.
Kirk Herbstreit works with him now. They do the games together on Thursday Night Football.
It's not Collinsworth anymore.
Collinsworth is on Sunday Night Football now with Mike Tirico.
Okay, Mike Tirico, one of the best in the business,
love
too.
Him.
I
yeah.
just love him. Love him. So, yeah, I mean, I have such an admiration for people doing that. Because, listen, Al Michaels can call anything, including an earthquake. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, remember that one? I mean, who can go from calling the was the All-Star Game, correct? That's when the earthquake interrupted All-Star Game?
I think it was the World Series, wasn't it? It was the
Could have been. But it was being played in the Bay Area, as you guys may know.
It was the World Series.
Okay, when he's getting ready to call that game, and then the earthquake hits. And I remember because I was getting a car stereo put in my car, and I'm looking up the TV screen and going, whoa. And I watched the one bridge. It had, it was a kind of a flat bridge, and it had collapsed. And I was looking at it and going, I've been on that bridge. There are two layers to that. Oh, my gosh, there are people underneath it. I couldn't believe it. And, Al Michaels just, boom, I'll do earthquake coverage now. I could do anything. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's one of the best. He's been around for a very long time. That is for sure.
Yeah, and no scandal, no problems. That's the thing. Most of these guys, Kirk's the same way. No scandal, no problems. Just doing the job, and it's great. I'm excited for you. I think you're going to do great things and stay with radio. Don't leave us. But you can do some other stuff too. We'll let you.
Sounds good. Where the
Happy
opportunities
National,
are.
Absolutely. Happy National Radio Day, everybody. We appreciate you tuning in and joining us because this is what we love to do. We hope you love to hear us. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Mark Reardon.
Get more at 971talk.com.